Some years back, I wrote about Thanksgiving, and I said, growing up, I thought that Thanksgiving time was perfect. Everything came together, the temperature was perfect, warm enough during the day, good sleeping weather at night. The food was always the best. The colors, I love fall colors, the falling leaves were always gorgeous. Our street was lined with beautiful elm trees. I know this will sound strange to some of you, but at one time we didn't have leaf blowers. I was the leaf blower, and I raked thousands of leaves into beautiful piles of soft landing sites. My neighbors used to burn their leaves, and the smoke would rise in the air and fill the neighborhood with the smell of late autumn. But beyond all the trappings of this time of year, I know what called to me so deeply. I wrote. I know now that what made me feel so fulfilled and filled me with a sense of warmth and love and hope, it was the deep and spiritual sense of community that I felt, the connection to my family, my friends, my neighbors, and to Mother Earth. Now, if I were to continue the story from where I left off, I would say that I moved on from when I wrote this and went in a different direction than what was written in this early sermon of mine, a sermon that I wrote when I was an intern, all poetic and deep and stuff. Here's what the continuation might have sounded like of my true story. It was Thanksgiving many years later. I was somewhere in my mid to late 20s. I wasn't enjoying my visit back to Chicago. I was enjoying the family dynamics even less. And I had reached a place in my life, that place of forgiveness for childhood stuff that hadn't come yet, maybe an essential part of maturity. And I remember thinking that I am not coming home for another holiday ever. I was the family rebel. I was the one who moved away the fastest and the farthest. And I know in a congregation of this size, there are some of you out there who were just like me. Looks of recognition already. And, but of course, there are many stories here too. Those of you who never thought this way and loved every single minute you had with your family, your holidays were probably, and still are maybe, joyous gatherings that leave you feeling full and with the warmth and comfort of a loving familiarity, the loving experience that repeats itself each and every holiday season. I find the holidays a fascinating microcosm of family life. Even if we love our families and our family get-togethers are amazing, we're still talking about people who can trigger your stuff faster than almost anyone else in the world. I was talking to someone the other day, a person in their mid-40s, someone who loves their family and certainly loves their parents, but when they go home, their mother will say something like, "Oh, so I see you've changed your hair color." Or their father will make a comment, maybe a little snide about their partner or spouse. And all too quickly, the childhood insecurities come flooding back in ways that you feel like you're about to get grounded. Well, this can make us feel a bit irrational, and they can lead to self-talk that goes a little like this. "Hey, I'm vice president of a company, or I'm a business owner, or I'm a college professor, or I'm just an independent adult in my 40s, and this conversation just made me feel like I was your child again." Some things never really seem to go away. I heard a great description recently about something like this, and it's like all the little comments and suggestions end up being death by a thousand cuts. And in addition to your parents, add all the family dynamics, the stereotype family roles, much like in the movies, that seem to be taken from many of our lives, like the siblings that are much better off or smarter than you are, or the ones who are actually nowhere near as good as you are and much worse, the religious differences that come with our aging and independence, political differences that either don't get talked about at family gatherings or get talked about at the top of our lungs, relatives who bring someone to the party who nobody thinks they should be with, because, of course, everyone knows what's best for you rather than yourself. These are all pictures of American family life that challenge the Norman Rockwell version of an American Thanksgiving. So when we're asked by our partners or friends or siblings or parents to go back to situations like this for holiday gathering, situations that are about family of origin, rather family of choice, what do we do? I can't help but this calls for us to approach it in the double way of gratitude and forgiveness. The tandem themes as we travel through this month together, actually, of November. I told you last week that I was kind of having a bad day, and I decided 21 days ago today that I was going to practice some gratitude for the rest of the month. And I've been posting and sending quotes all month, or at least for the last 21 days. Let me tell you what it has done for me. Every morning I get up and I think that I have to look for and find my quote on gratitude. Almost every morning I have combed through many quotes about gratitude, and I have to think about the things that are going on in my life on that day for which I am grateful. Some days I feel more grateful than others, and I try to find the quote that expresses my thoughts on that specific day, and then I share it with all of you. I have to admit, I think about it from a ministry perspective, and I want to post something that will be good for you to hear as well. And every day I also post a personal gratitude on my Facebook page, one that rises to the surface in my thoughts on that day. On November 6th, which was daily gratitude number 4, this is what I wrote. In a normal life, we hardly realize how much we receive than we give, how much more we receive than we give, and life cannot be rich without such gratitude. It's so easy to overestimate the importance of our own achievements compared with what we owe to the help of others, which was written by Dietrich Bonhoeffer in his letters from papers from prison. Then I wrote my personal gratitude, which said, I am grateful for my parents, for whatever issues I've had with them, and believe me, there have been plenty. I look at the 3 boys they raised, and I think about how much we owe them. This wasn't just gratitude. There was a heap of forgiveness in that serving. After growing up and moving out, struggling on my own, finding my own way, and some pretty good years of therapy, I finally came to the conclusion that my parents weren't perfect and that they really weren't supposed to be. They're wonderful and flawed human beings, and they did the best that they could based on being raised by wonderful and flawed human beings. My family can still drive me a little nuts, but I look at the people my brothers and I have become, and I think that these 2 people must have done something right. In fact, beyond that, if I can separate my childhood stuff in a more objective view, they are 2 human beings who dealt with significant demons of their own and have led very full and productive lives surrounded by people who love them. What a wonderful thing to be able to say. Family life is so complicated, and the holidays can even be more complicated if we are long removed from family or maybe never even had one. And being far removed doesn't mean that we don't have to deal with thoughts of family or facing family for the holidays. It often means that in this time of intense pressure of our culture to spend time with your family going over the river and through the woods to grandma's house, we may have never known our grandma, and certainly never went to her house for Thanksgiving. This can complicate things even more, and perhaps with the complications, it can be helpful to find our way to gratitude and forgiveness. The reading that we started at the service with today almost feels like an essay on forgiveness and gratitude for me. And although it comes from a parent's perspective, it also speaks to the complications of the relationships from the different perspectives of parent and child. We started by reading, your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they are with you, yet they belong not to you. We are all individual human beings, no matter how much you have been influenced by someone or trying to influence the life of someone. We will come from somewhere, but we do not solely belong to wherever we have come from. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls, for their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot even visit, not even in your dreams. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you. For life goes not backward, no tarries with yesterday. We can worship our parents, we can hate our parents, or maybe we don't even know our parents, but they will never stop influencing who we are. But at some point, we'll have to have our own thoughts, our own hope, and our own dreams. The approval some may seek may never be found. And just like the generations before us, the path we think may be best for our children will end up not being that of our choosing, but of course, a path that they will find on their own. You are the bows from which your children as living arrows are sent forth. The archer sees the mark upon the path of the infinite, and he bends you with his might that his arrows may go swift and far. Let your bending in the archer's hand be for gladness. This holiday season may bring all the gifts and challenges as most years and may bring new ones this year. This may be your first year without a living parent. This may be your first year with children no longer living in your house. This may be your first year in a long time with a job or without a job. This may be your first year with a new partner to bring to your holiday gathering, or perhaps being newly divorced and dealing with the loss and changes that that brings. I'm not sure if we were all perfect, we would have a month-long sermon series on forgiveness. If we had been raised by perfect people, if we were perfect parents ourselves and we would never say anything or do anything ever that was wrong or imperfect in any given situation. Of course, pure perfection is unattainable. We're all in a different place. We're all imperfect, and we all do the best we can. And during the holidays, to worry about perfection in a family situation is a challenge you don't really need. Some of the most perfect days we spend are filled with the messy business of living. Wherever you spend Thanksgiving this week, whether family of origin or family of choice, I hope you can find a path to forgiveness for the challenges that you have faced and still face. And I hope that you find a place of gratitude for the incredible gifts that come from this precious gift of life. May that be so, and amen.